Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. A lot can take place over the course of 14 days. Well, if you're a fan of Duke basketball, a lot can take place over a minute and 14 seconds. Unfortunately, going from a cruising Final Four victory to watching the opposing Houston team cut down the nets. Well, a lot can take place over 14 days. A person can begin the sobriety journey, coming to the end of self and realizing just how much pain and suffering addiction has caused to myself and to others. In the course of 14 days' time, one can go from unbelief in Christ to a forming knowledge and love of Christ. Over the span of 14 days, we can go from loving conversations with our dearest family members to holding their hand as they take their final breath on this earth. A lot can happen in 14 days. So today we are in this fifth Sunday in the season of Lent. And as of today, counting today, there are 14 days until Easter and the great resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hopefully you've been praying specifically, privately, intentionally for your Lenten prayer partner. A great practice that St. John's Parish Church has done for many years. Well, hopefully you have been using this time of Lent as it is intended by intentionally increasing your intentionality of prayer, fasting, penitence, giving. Hopefully this time of Lent has been a time of good reflection for you, a time of devotion to our God, and a time of preparation. Now, as I stated at the beginning of Lent in our Ash Wednesday services, we need this time in order to prepare ourselves in mind, body, spirit, and soul for the greatest event in the history of the world, the resurrection. We need this time. There are only 14 days left. It's good to prepare ourselves by acknowledging what Jesus has done for us. Namely, that he came into the world, he died for our sins to reconcile our lost and broken relationship with God the Father, that he defeated sin and hell and the sting of death, that he bodily rose from the grave, and that he ascended back into the glory of heaven to rule and reign forever. And all of this is good news, every bit of it. Therefore, I encourage you to take these next 14 days, to see these 14 days as an opportunity. And whether you've been diligent about your time during this season of Lent or not, I invite you to prepare intentionally these next 14 days for the coming resurrection of Jesus Christ by knowing him in a deeper way, a more intentional way, by praying. Denial. Repentance, fasting. We know that Lent is not a time to wallow in how bad I am, nor is it a time where we could recognize how good I want to be. Rather, despite my sins, how good Jesus is. And this, friends, is what Paul is getting at in this passage that we had from Philippians today. And in so, Paul gives us a great definition of Christian maturity. So, just before our reading today, and by the way, this whole passage is in the context of what it means to have faith in Christ and thus gain righteousness through that faith. That's what this whole passage is about. But in verses 4 and 5, just before where we picked up today, Paul tells us about his own pedigree, about who he was, what he accomplished. And if anyone could boast in their accomplishments, then it was Paul. He was a Hebrew overachiever of overachievers. Very few having accomplished even half as much as he had in his lifetime. You know, we should never boast, but if anyone would, it certainly would, it'd be Paul. Though, also in what we read today, again, Paul's definition of a mature Christian, he says that there is nothing at all of value more than knowing Jesus. Even the best of who we are is absolutely nothing without Christ. In essence, Paul is telling the reader, both 2,000 years ago and us today, that sometimes what we need to do is to sit in the knowledge of who Jesus is, not worrying about myself at all, the things that I've done, the wealth that I've made, the career success that I've built, the greatness of me, but rather sitting in the knowledge of what Jesus has done for me. And knowing that no matter what I've accomplished, it's utterly worthless in the kingdom of God. Paul, in fact, is quite revolted in the idea of worldly possessions, worldly things, worldly accomplishments. He doesn't care about pedigrees or degrees or MDs or VPs or investment accounts or name brands or luxury cars or how many friends I have or how good I am or how talented I am, how much I've done. He doesn't care about any of that. Says you can take it and you can flush it. It's all rubbish. Everything is about Christ. About what Christ has done. Not what Paul has done. Not what any one of us has done. Not what any one of us could ever do. But what Christ has done. And friends, this is what we are preparing for. This is worth preparing for. Everything else can be lost as long as I have gained Christ. His righteousness through faith. All we ever need is the overwhelming power of Jesus' death and resurrection, and maybe even share through the same sufferings that Jesus did, so that we may become more and more like him. This is a cruciform life, a life shaped by the cross for a cross, for our own cross. That we may suffer and die in this life, but have the great victory in resurrection life to come. This is what Paul desires, not his own victory, not anything that he has done, but God's victory. Winning doesn't matter. And then Paul goes on and he gives us an even further definition of what it means to be a mature Christian. And he even says that he isn't there yet. He's not there yet. But he knows that this is the way, this cruciform life. And now Paul desires to make Christ's life, Jesus' life, his own life, because Jesus has adopted Paul as his son. Because of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus, we are all then in that same boat. We all have the same invitation. Adopted sons and daughters of the Almighty God, made Christ's own, maturing into that calling of suffering and cruciformity. Again, Paul says, I have not made this on my own. He cannot. We cannot make this on our own. We cannot make a cruciform life by ourselves. None of us are strong enough, faithful enough, or without sin in order to become righteous. There's only one way that it could have happened. So we can do like Paul did, and like Paul says here in Philippians, we can strain ahead toward the upward call, striving and straining, pressing on toward the goal of becoming less, having less, being stripped down to nothing, yet gaining everything because of Jesus. We can press forward because Jesus himself has been pressed. This pressing that Paul writes about here is what theologian and pastor of blessed memory, Tim Keller, says is like the difference between the light from a light bulb and the light of a laser. A light bulb provides a broad spectrum of light that can illuminate a room. But light, when it is extremely concentrated, when it is focused and compressed and pressed, it becomes a laser. A laser that is capable of penetrating through solid material. The maturity trajectory of a Christian is to become that compressed light. And it requires us to be pressed, to be strained, to be concentrated and focused on a single focal point: Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Nothing else. Jesus Christ, what he has done for us. And this is the ultimate that any of us could have in every aspect of life, whether it is your spiritual life, your career or work life, school, education, activities. This is the single focal point. So friends, what has Jesus done for you? What has Jesus done for you? This really is not a rhetorical question. What has Jesus done for you? I invite you to think about that deeply over the next 14 days. Between now and Easter, what has Jesus done for me? Because everything else doesn't really matter when compared to the everlasting joy and salvation that Christ has brought. What has Jesus done for me? The answer is everything that is worth anything. So the further along one walks in the truth of Christ, that my life isn't mine, the further one grows in spiritual Christian maturity, and the less one wants and needs from the world. What is a new car when it comes to the surpassing worth of Jesus dying on the cross to save me? What is another degree or a new job or even $1 million when compared to the value and truth of all things given and glorious by Jesus Christ? This is the upward call of maturity in Christ Jesus. And I think it's worth spending the next 14 days listening to what he's saying to each one of us, how he is active and alive, and what he has done. It's worth 14 days, isn't it? It's worth 14 days between now and Easter to prepare for the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And remember, a lot can happen in 14 days. Amen.
I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path. For my love is often cold, he must hold me fast. He will hold me fast, he will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. Those he saves are his delight, Christ will hold me fast. Precious in his holy sight, he will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost, his promises shall last. But by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast, he will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. For my life he bled and died, Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied, he will hold me fast. Raised with him to endless life, he will hold me fast. Till our faith is turned to sight, when he comes at last. He will hold me fast, he will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast, he will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast.